Our next speaker is Melanie Walker, and she is the manager of the Social Determinants of Health Alliance Secretariat and Deputy CEO of the Public Health Association of Australia. She is Vice President of the Hepatitis Australia, President of Hepatitis ACT, and also currently a panel member for the Alcohol Advertising Review Board. She was previously a director, acting director, and assistant director in the Commonwealth Public Service, including health, the Service Delivery Analysis Branch of the Department of Human Services, Substance Use and Social Health Sections of the Office of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Health, Drug Strategy Branch of the Department of Health and Aging, and the Corrections Health Program in ACT Health. Prior to joining the public service, she worked as a consultant to the Australian Parliamentary Group for Drug Law Reform.
Thanks, guys, and I'm conscious that morning tea is kind of looming, so I'll try. I've got to confess I will go over time because I need more than 3 minutes, but I'll try and get us to morning tea by 11 o'clock, I promise. Okay, so I've gone a bit old school today. I don't have a PowerPoint presentation, but I've got handouts, so those are coming around the room, and when I get a little bit further into the presentation, hopefully you'll all have them by then, and I'll be able to explain what's in that pile of stuff. Okay, so before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge the Ngunnawal people, the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, and pay my respects to their elders past and present. I'd also like to acknowledge the prior speakers, Julie and Leonie and Eamon. Julie and I have worked closely together for a number of years, and while her time was limited this morning, she spoke very eloquently about the services that Wununga provides, but I think many of you would also be interested in the work that Wununga has done in prisons across jurisdictions as well. So maybe that's something you can ask Julie about at morning tea. I was very interested in Eamon and Leonie's presentations too, particularly given the focus on rural service delivery in rural and regional Australia. I actually grew up in Gunnedah in northwest New South Wales, so a lot of resonance with what you guys are saying about flexible models of service delivery too. So thank you so much for those. But I'm here to talk about the Social Determinants of Health Alliance. This is obviously a concept that many of you are familiar with, and a number of speakers have touched on these issues over the last couple of days, particularly our president, the Public Health Association president, Heather Yateman, yesterday. So for many years, and particularly the last decade, a number of Australian organisations, academics and public policy leaders have been increasingly interested in improving Australians' wellbeing and reducing health inequities by addressing the social factors or determinants that strongly influence people's health. The Social Determinants of Health Alliance, or SDOHA, as we call ourselves, was formed in October 2012 with the goal of working with governments to improve health outcomes for all Australians, and especially among those who are subject to social and economic disadvantage. SDOHA is a collaboration of like-minded organisations from the areas of health, social services and public policy, and we currently have over 60 organisational members. Abundant evidence shows that the higher your income or level of education in Australia, the better your health will tend to be. So people in the most disadvantaged social groups are also far more likely than those in the higher socioeconomic groups to have long-term physical or mental health problems. They are less able to gain an education or maintain a job to retirement, and they are more likely to die at a younger age. But it doesn't have to be that way. The evidence is clear that predominantly health inequities arise through differing circumstances in which we grow, live, work and age. They can be changed and reduced. Political, social and economic policies that determine, for example, wages, employment conditions, affordability of housing, transport, childcare, preschool, quality education and affordable healthcare can create conditions that influence whether Australians are healthy or not. They influence who benefits and who doesn't. We believe that health inequities are unacceptable and undermine our social and economic wellbeing as a nation. That's why SDOHA believes that it's essential that the government heed the findings and recommendations of the World Health Organization's Commission on Social Determinants of Health to reduce inequalities as set out in its seminal report, Closing the Gap in a Generation, Health Equity Through Action on the Social Determinants of Health. Research recently conducted in Australia has shown that failing to act on the social determinants of health means that hundreds of thousands of people are needlessly suffering long-term health problems. In particular, the 2012 Catholic Health Australia NATSEM report, Cost of Inaction on the Social Determinants of Health, showed that over time there could be billions of dollars saved in health and welfare costs, reduced unemployment and improved productivity if governments adopted the recommendations of the Closing the Gap in a Generation report. It is for these reasons that SDOHA has as its main goal having the Commonwealth, State and Territory Governments of Australia commit to action to implement the recommendations of the Closing the Gap in a Generation report, namely to improve daily living conditions, tackle inequitable distribution of power, money and resources, and measure and understand the problem and assess the impact of action. During the term of the last government, the Senate Community Affairs Committee conducted an inquiry into Australia's response to this landmark report. On March 20, 2013, the committee released its report, and SDOHA is currently very focused on pursuing a response to the recommendations, not just from the Commonwealth, but also from jurisdictional governments. So as part of that, we continue to undertake a range of activities to progress the social determinants of health in government decision-making across portfolios. And just to give you a bit of an idea of some of the activities we've been undertaking over the course of the last year, these have included presenting the case for action on social determinants of health to the April meeting of Australian Government Health Ministers, conducting a public forum on racism and culture as social determinants of health in Melbourne, conducting a social determinants of health federal election forum in Sydney during the 2013 national election campaign, conducting a public forum on social determinants and policy and practice in Adelaide. We've established a member subscription SDOHA newsletter. We've made submissions to numerous national inquiries. We've established the SDOHA Secretariat within the Public Health Association of Australia. And we've been responding to a growing number of requests for conference presentations, research projects, and media discussion on the role of the social determinants of health within the Australian community. So that's just a bit of background to what we've been up to. But what I'd like to do just briefly this morning is update you on the research forum that we held in conjunction with this conference on Monday, just prior to the conference starting, and also talk a little bit about things that went on at the Social Determinants of Health Alliance members meeting that was held after the forum. So that's basically some of the stuff that I've included in the handout. On the front there is a gratuitous invitation to those organisations that haven't joined the Social Determinants of Health Alliance yet to do so. If you would like to fill out your name, address and tick one of the beautiful boxes at the bottom there and hand your form back to me, we can sign you up post-haste. I've also included the media alert from the forum on Monday because it just gives you a bit of a brief introduction of what we were talking about and who the speakers were on the day. So that was Monday this week. I've also included the agenda from the members' meeting because I think it just gives you a bit of an idea of the things we're talking about and some of the upcoming activities. And just as an example of submissions, I've included the recent brief submission that we put into the Senate Committee, the Standing Committees on Community Affairs, on the Australian National Preventative Health Agency Abolition Bill. And we've subsequently appeared at the public hearing in relation to that legislation. And I think the transcript might be up on the Parliament House website now too. So that's just to give you a bit of a flavour of some of the things that we've been up to. So on Monday, we held the Social Determinants of Health Research Forum in the afternoon prior to this event kicking off. We were really, really fortunate to have some wonderful speakers come along to that. We had Professor Sharon Friel, who many of you will know, Professor of Health Equity and Director of the Regulatory Institutions Network at the Australian National University. She's also Director of the Menzies Centre for Health Policy at ANU and has an illustrious background in international forums across a number of years. So Sharon spoke about the global framework for emerging research on the social determinants of health. We also had Professor Mike Silvaris from Deakin University, who's a board member of the Australian National Development Index. Now, ANDI, as it's called, is a new mechanism that's being established within Australia to kind of replace or complement GDP as a measure of national progress. So it's being developed along the lines of some of the other mechanisms there are in countries like Canada to try and measure progress according to social determinants of health and other factors, as well as economic progress and development. So that was a really interesting presentation too. And all of these, the audio for these presentations and the PowerPoints will be up on the Social Determinants of Health website in the next couple of days, probably when one of my other staff members gets back from holidays next week. So the website is www.socialdeterminants.org.au. We did have Rebecca Castles scheduled to speak about a really interesting report out of UC on marginalised Australians' characteristics and predictors of exit over 10 years through the period 2001 to 2010. Unfortunately, Rebecca wasn't able to present because she had a sick child, but happily I've actually seen that presentation delivered before. The report was about following a cohort of marginalised people through a 10-year span and looking at the interventions that made a difference in their lives over that time. And there were some really exciting findings in that report, I think, and some that would possibly surprise the current government around welfare interventions in particular. One of the most interesting things I found in that presentation was that those people who were engaged with the welfare system actually exited marginalisation at a much greater rate than those who didn't access welfare. So this idea that people become entrenched on welfare and it doesn't do them any good and we're not doing them any favours and really young people should only be on welfare for 6 months of any given year is actually not backed up by the evidence in terms of what is helping people leave marginalisation. So I'm sorry that Rebecca wasn't able to be there, but that was the gist of what she was going to tell us anyway. We then had Dr. Gemma Carey from the ANU and Brad Crammond from Monash University, and they launched their new report, this beautiful one here, Taking Action on the Social Determinants of Health, Insights from Politicians, Policymakers and Lobbyists. Now that one's also available on the Social Determinants of Health website now. It's up on the front page. There's a link about halfway down. And that was, they both presented on different aspects of their research in developing that report. So it was a really interesting project that interviewed a diverse group of people around things that actually influenced government policy, what actions and advocacy activities you could undertake that actually made a difference, and how you could harness research findings in a way that's meaningful in connecting it in with the political agenda of the current government and party. So a really interesting report, I thought, and I certainly recommend you have a squiz at that when you have a moment spare. Our final speaker was Mary Guthrie from the Lewitcher Institute, and Mary spoke about progress with the establishment and activities of the Health System Coalition in support of constitutional recognition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Now, I know a number of your organisations will already be a part of that coalition, but if you're not, I strongly recommend that you get on the website for the Lewitcher Institute and have a look at that. So basically what they're asking is that organisations across the health and related sectors sign up to a statement in support of constitutional recognition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples because of the significance that that will have in terms of providing a framework for improving the social determinants of health. So, again, a really interesting presentation and something that I think a lot of people would be interested in. So, following that forum, bear with me while I pick up my other notes I just dropped, we had the meeting of the Social Determinants of Health Alliance members in the afternoon following the forum. And some of the things from that meeting, you've got the agenda there in front of you and I'll just run you through some of the exciting happenings there. We decided that Sadoha would like to become a member of the Health System Coalition for Constitutional Recognition and also a supporting partner of the Australian National Development Index. So those were actions obviously coming straight out of the research forum. We've talked about Sadoha membership, which is obviously something that I'm keen to take up with you guys as well. In terms of how we fund the activities of the Social Determinants of Health Alliance, we ask for contributions from members, financial contributions, but they're not compulsory. So those organisations who are able to make a financial contribution, that's wonderful because it lets us run these great forums and have events and fund those sorts of activities, but that's in no way a compulsory part of becoming a part of the Alliance. We spoke as well about our submission that I've attached there on the Australian National Preventive Health Agency Abolition Bill and about our appearance before the Senate Committee on that one. Obviously, we've heard a number of speakers over the last 2 days talk about the loss of emphasis on prevention coming out of the budget initiatives. And that's integrally linked, of course, to the social determinants of health when you're talking about preventive health measures. So that's something that we're very keen to continue to pursue. And we feel that we had quite a productive contribution in terms of the committee hearing that we appeared before. The Standing Council on Health, so that's Australian and New Zealand government health ministers, we've been lobbying the Standing Council on Health through a range of measures, correspondence, presentations, engagement with various departments who support that committee, to look at taking up the recommendations of the Senate committee report on implementing the international recommendations from the WHO report. So that's something we'll continue to do. It's now been a year since that Senate committee report came down, and unfortunately in the interim we have had the change of government that kind of disjointed or interrupted a response, and we're yet to see a formal response from government on that one. The reason we took it to the Standing Council on Health is because, being about social determinants, some of the areas of responsibility really fall in the jurisdictions rather than the Commonwealth. So we wanted to make the point that it's not exclusively a burden on the Australian government to implement those recommendations. It really will need to be a team approach. So we're continuing to work with them in relation to how the government responds and how the Standing Council on Health can support and build on the recommendations that may come from the Commonwealth in relation to that. I'd like to talk just briefly about a couple of upcoming items. We're having our AGM in August following an event at the Press Club. We're having an address to the National Press Club on the 20th of August, and the speakers will be Martin Laverty, who's our chair and currently the CEO of Catholic Health Australia. He will by that time have swapped into a new job though and be the CEO of the Royal Flying Doctors Service of Australia. So I think it's safe to say we'll now have another organisational member there. So Martin's going to speak in his capacity as chair of SEDOHA. We've got Tom Carmer, Chancellor of the University of Canberra, coming to speak with a number of hats on about the work he's done, not least of which in justice reinvestment. And interestingly, we've got Kate Carnell, the Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, coming along. And the reason we've invited her to come along is to talk about the importance of employment as a driver and a social determinant of health. And we think it's really important that we don't just continue to preach to the converted in terms of the social determinants of health, but we try and engage a range of players who have something important to say, but also will have a resonance, whose messages will have a resonance with this government. So we would love you guys to come along to that function. I'm just working with the Press Club at the moment, and a flyer will go out shortly, and also there'll be information on the Press Club website of how you can book a table and attend that event. We'll also be having our AGM on the same day following the Press Club event, and I would love for you to join up SEDOHA so that you can nominate for our management committee for the AGM. We'll be doing an event as well in Poverty Week, which is the 12th to 18th of October 2014. That will be a locally based Canberra event, and again, more details will be forthcoming, but it's likely to be an oration from a prominent community member raising the issue of the social determinants of health. In November, we'll be conducting a strategic planning workshop to look at our program of activities moving forward. So how have we gone? A bit of a recap of what we've been doing, how we've gone, and where to from here in terms of the activities that not just the Alliance will undertake, but how the member organisations and their activities can contribute to broader advocacy goals. And I think I'll probably leave it there. We also have a SEDOHA blog on our website, and we ask members to contribute articles talking about the wonderful work of their respective organisations that relate to the social determinants of health. So if you're looking for a way to showcase the activities of your organisation among organisations that are interested in the social determinants of health, it's a really good way to do that. And certainly we would welcome popping up some presentations from people at this event up on the blog as well. So that's just a little update on what the Social Determinants of Health Alliance is doing that we thought would interest you. There is another alliance that PHAA holds the secretariat for, the National Complex Needs Alliance, but that's a story for another day. But if I can tell you just briefly, if the Social Determinants of Health Alliance is about the fence at the top of the cliff, the National Complex Needs Alliance is about the ambulance at the bottom and service delivery responses to helping people who already have complex needs. So we've got some exciting things going on, and it's morning tea time, and if anyone would like to talk to me about those things or fill out one of these lovely forms to either become a member of Sedoha or receive our weekly e-newsletter. I'll be around at morning tea time and up until lunchtime, and please feel free to give them to me. Thank you.